On this entire episode, we've been circling the topic of cultural appropriation, and we've been talking about some hypothetical situations. But to close our show, we're going to come right down and zoom into one woman's personal experience. Gina May is half white and half Chinese, and she was raised by a single mom from Hong Kong. Gina was super proud always of her identity, but one day, something happened that shifted the way she carried herself forever. Here's Gina.
As a kid, I never had to question whether I was Chinese. I was raised by a single mother, a badass immigrant woman from Hong Kong who made sure I knew who I was and where I came from, teaching me to write my Chinese name before my English one. My father, a white dude from Ohio, was never around to tell me otherwise. On Chinese New Year, I'd call relatives halfway around the world, Gong Hei Fa Choi, Lai Si Dao Loi, essentially wishing them a happy and healthy new year before cheekily asking them for red packets filled with money. I'd count the crisp 10s and 20s fresh from the bank before stuffing them in a denim Hello Kitty wallet I hid under my bed. After my gong gong and paw paw passed, I was taught to light incense for them, to bow three times before a small altar overflowing with oranges and kumquats. By high school, I was passively fluent in Mandarin. But despite this, for all the so-called proof I had of my Chineseness, I was beginning to understand that I was different. That to strangers and even to my own family, I was somehow not Chinese enough. I have never been white passing or Asian passing, and growing up in Los Angeles, most people have always assumed I'm Latina. I've been scolded countless times for not being able to speak Spanish. A fair number of people seem to think I'm making a not that funny joke when I say I'm half Chinese, because apparently it's that unbelievable. At first, this was just frustrating. Constantly having to explain what you are to people gets tedious, especially when it's the only terrible pickup line you've ever heard in your entire life. But it also felt personal. Like a constant reminder that there was something wrong with me. Scarier than that, it genuinely felt like people were pissed when I gave them an answer they didn't like. As if my not fitting into their ideas of what a Chinese person should look like was a personal affront. Sidelong glances when I spoke Mandarin or wore a camp t-shirt emblazoned with Chinese characters became more common than not. My family calling me a guaimuizai, which essentially translates to little foreign devil girl, didn't feel quite as affectionate as before. And then, when I was 16, it happened. Aesthetically, there are few things that feel as representative of Chinese culture than the cheongsam, a traditional garment that dates back to the Qing dynasty, although some argue that its roots extend back even further. The cheongsam today is more a nod to tradition than an everyday outfit. So 16-year-old me was volunteering at a high school luncheon for the Chinese Parents Association for Chinese New Year. I was setting up one of the food tables wearing my favorite cheongsam, a sheer black dress covered in colorful embroidery layered over a simple black slip. It had been my mother's, one of the only ones that fit me. It made me feel powerful and beautiful and proud. And then a girl from the grade below me, who I'd never spoken to before, walked up to me and said, "What's a Mexican girl like you doing appropriating my culture on Chinese New Year?" My heart sank. Not only did a fellow Chinese person not believe that I was Chinese, but she was so sure in this belief that she felt self-righteous enough to call me out over it. I immediately wanted to vomit. I explained to her that I was biracial, that my mom had immigrated to the U.S. in the 1970s. In response, she told me, "There's no way you're Chinese because you don't look it at all." I tried to explain that I was half Chinese and half mostly Italian. Before stomping away, she told me, "Either you're adopted or someone's been lying to you because you're definitely not Chinese." I feigned outrage, but the truth is, I was totally shaken. Like, I was being dirty and insensitive. Maybe I really wasn't allowed to wear a cheongsam, even if my mother had given it to me, and even if I saw myself as Chinese. If I'd had a change of clothing with me, I'd have ripped the dress off right there and then. When you're told multiple times that you aren't enough, to pass or otherwise, you start to believe it. My former classmate was simply the breaking point, and her words only confirmed something that I had already suspected, that I'll never be Chinese enough. Not to her, not to my family, not to the world. Because of something I can't help, aka my face, I will never be allowed to take part in my own culture without someone assuming that I'm appropriating it. When I got home, I took the dress off, put it on its hanger, and subconsciously knew I'd never wear it again. Logically, I know that I wasn't being insensitive all those years ago, that I wasn't being culturally appropriative. I've been wearing cheongsam since before I could walk. And even if that weren't true, I'd still be Chinese. But I also know that doesn't matter. If the world treats me like I'm being culturally appropriative, then what does it matter if I'm actually being culturally appropriative or not? As an adult, I don't speak Mandarin anymore. I'm too old to wave a lantern around. I rarely visit Hong Kong. And honestly, I hate it. I hate that I've let the world decide who I get to be because of how I look. I hate being afraid of taking part in things that felt everyday and ordinary when I was a kid. My mom worked so hard to make sure I was proud of where I came from, and I am proud. But my pride is quieter now. It's like I'm hiding something all the time, not out of shame, but out of fear. That cheongsam now collects dust in my closet at my mom's house. Sometimes when I visit, I'll dig around and I'll see it shoved in the back. I'll remember the last time I wore it, how pretty I felt, how proud I was allowed to be. And I'll remember how easily that was all taken away, how this symbol of my identity, this badge of honor, has now become a symbol of fear. Cultural appropriation, as important as it is to call it out when you see it, isn't as cut and dry as it's made out to be. And in order to protect a part of my identity that I still value so much, in order to protect the little girl who kept her red pocket money in a Hello Kitty wallet under the bed, well, in the back of the closet, that cheongsam will have to stay. At least for now.
Thanks, Gina, for sharing your story with us. Gina May is a writer based in Los Angeles. And that wraps it up for our first take, but probably not our last, on the issue of cultural appropriation. And by the way, Feliz Día de los Muertos!